meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number.
Don't strain yourself there, Adam.
Oh.
You lift your hand up and you lean forward.
Hey.
You all right?
Yeah.
This is like a British Airlines commercial for business class.
Well, you know, I just got off an airplane a couple hours ago, and I was in the 767 in the first class.
Nice.
It had the full recline with, like, the hood thing on it. Yeah. It was great. You know, it worked like a charm because after the plane landed, well, there's always that thing. You know, the problem with the first class is you recline that seat all the way and you get good and cozy and you honker in for a good nap. And at some point, they got to wake you up and tell you to straighten up because it's time to land. And
you were asleep that long?
No, I wasn't, but the guy next to me was.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little uncomfortable because, you know, stewardess came by. It's like, Mr. Johnson. No, nothing.
Oh.
Miss Johnson got straightened up seat. Miss Johnson. He's like shaking his arm a little bit. He's just sitting there. And I don't know if it made a difference, but it was a younger black guy, and it was a white. Maybe she thought he was going to, like, pull a shiv on her or something, you know. And she was like, Miss Johnson. And now I was watching but getting involved from a distance.
Right.
And I, you know, it's all I want to do is I got to do something, you know. Hey, Johnson, you know, or snap a towel on him or something. So she left him and came back like 5 minutes later and shook him again. And he wasn't waking up. And I thought, wow, how nice it must be.
Wow.
How
like
nice
that.
It must
Ooh,
be.
For you, yeah. You were probably angry.
I mean, imagine you're asleep in a group of, you know, 200 other people that are basically sleeping, and you know you're landing soon enough, and you have somebody, like, shaking your arm.
Did you finally wake up?
Yeah, eventually. Eventually, she gave him a hot foot. No. Then she got him up, and, you know.
Damn, bitch!
He acclimated himself. I'm just saying, there was a part of me that wanted to help her wake him up. That's you have that part too, right,
oh,
Drew?
Oh, immediately.
Feels like it's your responsibility now.
Oh yeah, I'm at it.
Yeah, not me. I just laid back.
Now I'm going to take care of this because I can. Speaking of laying back, I can see it's going to be a little too much for you to reach up and push this button.
Yeah,
yeah.
You
fly back there.
Well, I'm on Bahamas time,
well,
Drew. I'm very laid back.
You're laid back. You're on Bahamas time, but let's be honest here. You've had a Quaalude.
No. Are they calling them Quaaludes?
Okay.
I had a couple of cocktails on the plane. You know, I relaxed myself. I had about 12 hours worth of flying today.
What? Oh, you had to stop in Miami.
I had like four different planes and everything.
What?
Yeah. And by the way, if anyone's listening, I got nothing to prove when I'm flying anymore. I mean, I'm like a Jan Michael Vincent. I need to be. I'm this close to needing a wheelchair to get through the airport. I am so loaded. I got, you know, cocktails and an Ativan in me, and I'm just walking dead. I mean, you know why? Because here's how everyone should try to get from point A to point B.
Unconscious?
You should end up in your hotel room and go, wow, here we are. Wow, how'd I get here? That's as close as we have to transport.
Transporters.
Yeah. It really is.
Just knock out the memory of the travel, and it'll seem like a transporter. And be fair, right? After all, really, all that counts is that you.
No, I mean,
think it's taking time.
I'm serious. I ate. I got on the plane. Ate a pot brownie in Los Angeles.
Seriously?
Yeah, I ate a pot brownie.
You left at like 1:30
in the morning.
Who's pot brownie? Was it?
I don't want to say Jimmy. What? He gave me a pot brownie.
What?
He said, "Eat this on the plane." The thing that was funny is I was eating the pot brownie while we're sitting on the ground at L.A., and Jimmy's like, hey, man, be cool. And I'm like, hey, Jimmy, if I act like I'm smoking a pot brownie, someone's liable to say something. You understand? It just looks like a brownie to me and you. I should eat it casually.
Is this
I don't want to turn
crazy?
My back to the stewardess
Wait
and go, yeah, good brownie.
Is this some crazy-ass idea that someone gave Jimmy as to how to deal with an overnight flight or something?
Yes.
Oh, for
Jimmy,
God's sake.
Jimmy gets airsick.
Does this work?
And the pot brownie will mellow him out.
How about
he passed right out. I passed right out, too.
It worked?
Well, yeah,
maybe it was finally a use for this thing.
Well, I mean, I was due to pass out anyway. The plane took off at 2 a.m. Sunday night. I wasn't going anywhere. I had the pot brownie, woke up in Dallas or something during a layover. I had another one in Florida. I didn't remember the whole, I had like 4 planes in 14 hours. I just showed up at the hotel. I didn't even know where I was.
Couldn't you just gone straight down to Cabo or something? Or,
I don't know. I mean, what? I don't know. Thank God for the pot brownie.
Well, at least you were there for 2 days.
Thank God for the pot brownie. Thank God for the pot.
Did it work?
Here I am. I don't remember any of the bad stuff.
Do you remember the rest of the trip?
No, while I was there?
Yeah.
I remember parts of that, but it's the part about how I got there.
All right.
No idea.
Should we take some calls?
And have Jimmy filling out my customs papers and stuff.
We were on call 4 by last night.
Yeah. I'm just letting it run, see how long it takes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Better you should bore the nation with some of your crappy advice than me telling a heartfelt story about a pot brownie.
Mario?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
19.
What's happening?
I was wondering if your buddy the Wheeze would be a guest on Wolfrun anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeze is better left as folklore, I think. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do you
know
about...
Ray, on the other hand, I wanted to have for some time.
How do you know about the Wheeze, Mario?
You mention him all the time.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. No, the Wheeze will not be on anytime soon. Thank you. That's my personal life.
Adam, hey, Mario, let me just be clear here. Adam has a very specific plan here. None of the friends that he talks about are allowed back to talk about him.
That's right. That's right. But Mario works at a porn shop, it says?
Yeah. Drew, I had a question for you. I know every fan that listens to the show, I mean, it's always on their mind. I was wondering, who do you think about when you masturbate?
All right. Me or the Wheeze? All right, let's talk to Danielle. Danielle?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You're 19. What's up?
I missed a period, and it's strange because I'm a lesbian, and I haven't cheated on my girlfriend.
Medication?
Nope, I just started Wellbutrin 5 days ago, so it's not that.
And when did you miss the period?
This past month,
and
the month before
changing your diet?
Nope.
No weight loss?
Nope.
Changing your exercise patterns?
Nope.
And no medication?
No medication.
Any stress?
No, not more than usual.
About
mid-July, I had a pap smear, and I got the results back, I think, like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And they said that there were no cells to do any testing on.
Right.
So I'd have to go and do it again.
Right.
Is that indicative of anything?
No, it just means it was just not an adequate specimen.
Okay.
And it's, reasonable. Now, I'm confused, though. You missed your period when?
This past month.
Which was how long ago? A month ago?
3 weeks?
You were at the gynecologist 2 weeks ago. Why didn't you tell them?
Because I didn't know that I had missed it yet.
I see. It's right about the same time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now you got to go back and discuss this. I mean, it could be nothing. It could be an anovulatory cycle. It could be just, some stress. You weren't even the depression. What are you taking the Wellbutrin for?
I quit smoking.
Just for that.
You a lesbian?
Yes.
How's that going?
It's going well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Me too.
All right, my girlfriend, she's not bi, she's a full lesbo?
Yeah, she's a full lesbo. She's actually kind of a tranny boy.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
She kind of a tranny boy?
Oh, she is. She definitely is.
She's a transsexual.
Transsexual, likes to work on transmissions.
No,
all those lesbians like the ranch.
Tranny, yeah.
Yeah, she's a tranny.
She's a transsexual.
From what to what?
Well, she hasn't done any of the physical stuff or just testosterone or anything, but... transgender, but she looks like a guy. Looks like a guy.
Is she going to become a guy?
Maybe eventually. I don't know. It's kind of whatever she wants to do.
What does she tell you she wants to do?
She hasn't figured it out yet.
So, Drew, put that thing on buzz, would you? What about the part where you're a lesbian, but you're dating a person that everyone thinks is a guy?
Yeah, but she has all the female stuff going on.
I know, but doesn't that just add one more layer of confusion?
It's very confusing. People look at her as a guy, and I don't know.
I mean,
they get weird when they see that she has breasts.
All this just to pay back Daddy?
My dad's a great guy.
Really?
Yeah.
For her.
Oh, this poor guy.
Where's my bourbon?
He must hate this.
No, we actually live at home with my parents.
No!
Wow.
Yeah.
Hippies?
No.
I was reading some literature on transsexuals, and they are finding a pattern with that, in that when one of the parents has a wish for the child to be another gender early in life,
mm-hmm.
that tends to imprint on the kids and contribute to this kind of thing.
Hmm.
So that's a pattern that's out there with this.
All right. And you couldn't just go ahead and hang with a guy now that you're practically with a guy.
No, not really, because all my friends are gay.
Male friends. You can't find a guy.
I can't find a guy, no. No, my male friends are gay.
Majority. Okay, and what if your girlfriend became a male? What would happen then?
I'd still be with her.
You would?
Yeah.
But then it would be a male that you were with.
Well, that'd be okay, because I'm attracted to her personality.
I see.
Yeah.
She kind of is saying that she can't find a guy. What's your dad like? What's he do for a living?
He actually, I think he's doing construction with his brother-in-law.
What kind of construction?
Yeah. He digs dirt and does landscaping and does contracting jobs.
Bad times. All right, baby. Good luck.
Thank you.
Don't marry this he, she, it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right.
Why not? Won't get pregnant.
You're lesbian.
Yeah.
But your female lover is essentially a male. I mean, looks like a male to everyone else.
But why did...
And is now in the process of becoming a male...
Hey, listen.
Physiologically.
Remember,
and you're still going to stay with this, and you still think that you cannot keep your lesbian card. You understand?
Can't keep it current.
You can't keep that status current.
The card-carrying lesbian card?
That's right.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Adam, that most men that become female do so to continue having relationships with female, but with female lesbians.
Yeah.
Think about how weird that is.
Yeah.
So why go through becoming a female?
Because
the only way you can be with a lesbian is a female.
I don't know. They're all whack jobs. Nuts. Nuts as the day is long. And you know my feelings on these doctors who perform these surgeries. Nuts. Charlatans. Do you hear me, Drew?
Mm.
Always wanting cash. Thinking they're doing the Lord's work. Another argument is, but wait a minute. There was a female trapped inside a male's body. Oh, I didn't know. Listen, you screwballs. It's not like you can replace female with rebar. There's a piece of rebar that had impaled the guy's thigh, and as a doctor, I removed it. For that, you should... We should applaud you.
I like
you
the idea.
You cutting some guy's dork off does not make you a doctor.
I like the idea that it's a three-limbed person caught inside a four-limbed person's body.
So
let's take off the extra limb.
That's what I say. What if I said to you, and that's what these doctors do. They're like, well, listen, I cut this person's penis off and made him into a woman because there was a woman trapped inside his body, and... His penis was getting in the way of the woman's pleasure, and he wanted it. That's right. He wanted it. He truly believed that if the penis was removed, that would make him happy. But as I've said, what if I said my right arm was possessed? Look at my right arm. I'm flying the bird to the cops, driving around.
Right now.
Culver City PD's here. My right arm is giving them the finger.
Well, they're giving it back.
That's yeah, nice. See, but if I didn't
have... They have three ways of doing it back.
I could get beaten for that. You understand? Pulled out of the car and beaten. My hand, I can't stop smacking myself in the face. I can't stop itching my balls or my ass in public. I would like my right arm removed. It's possessed. Shouldn't these doctors, using their own retarded form of logic, remove my right arm for me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Culver PD is here for the Pop Brownies and Jimmy's phone number.
Oh.
They came here immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah. I could write a prescription for him.
You could?
Well.
Do they have him in the brownie form?
I don't know.
They got to get that in the brownie form. Well, what do they do?
What do what do?
I mean, what is that? Marinol? You have Marinol pills?
No, you can try to get marijuana now.
You can?
Marijuana.
See if you can score. Stephanie?
You are high still. You really
How
are.
How dare you?
You are.
What are you talking about?
Hey guys, I need you to issue a sobriety test on this guy.
Absolutely.
Can they come in right now and do it?
Yeah. How dare you?
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, this is going to be as good as the time I poured acid on my penis and you shined a black light on it.
Suspicious.
Well, Drew, if...
Here they are.
The Culver City PD comes in here and offers us a field sobriety test. Are you talking to the mic then?
All right.
He's cuffing me.
So why don't you walk us through this?
All right, yeah.
Suspicious.
And listen, Drew, you talking to the mic.
All right.
And we're going to
have
out.
A policeman in the studio.
Yeah, right. I don't know if he wants us to use his name or not.
That's why I'm not.
Yeah.
And he stopped by here because of Adam's reference to marijuana and Jimmy.
Right.
And Adam is now standing up. Kind of look, he's sort of swaying a little
you
bit.
Know,
look at those
I'm
eyes.
Him.
Check the nystagmus. He's got nystagmus.
Nice.
Watch the tip of the pen.
All right.
There we go.
Don't track it with your head, with your eyes.
Okay, all right. Fine. Yeah, yeah. Like cat-like reflexes.
About six beats. Yeah, absolutely.
Six beats. All right, but listen.
You're in trouble.
What would you do?
If you pulled him over on the freeway, he did the, you say, get out of the car.
All right, but would you shut up, Drew? I want to find out what your basic field sobriety test would be like. You pull the person over. You have suspicion to believe that he may be intoxicated in some way or another. What is the movements? Alcohol, marijuana, pills, whatever it is.
Four standardized tests.
Four standardized, okay.
Well, first, you failed the first.
All right. No, I did not. I think you got a little wiggle in there, but that's
smooth pursuit.
What's that?
Your eyes. The lack of smooth pursuit and the onset of nystagmus. The involuntary muscle bounce.
You can't fake that. You can't hide it.
You can't feel it.
No, I know. I can feel it because I can see my reflection in Drew's beady eyeballs. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. So the first one, would you give them the follow and pursuit? Would you show them the pen way?
It all depends on what they're intoxicated on.
Okay, but what would you give me? Like, what would be a good
position of attention? You stand with your legs, with your feet together.
Okay,
straight up with your hands down at your sides. You touch your head.
All right, I'm putting the mic down for a second. All right, here we go.
All right, wait a minute. Stand like this. Feet together.
Feet together. Hands down at your sides.
All right.
Tilt your head slightly back.
Uh-huh.
Close your eyes, and just stand there.
Shut up, Drew. And see if you fall over.
No,
right?
we watch to see if you sway from center. And what you'll do is you'll sway in a circular motion. Like the longer you stand.
Do you guys see this? Can you see from the other room?
Oh, please.
Please nothing.
All right, here we go. You ready?
There he goes. See?
It's like it's windy in there.
Yeah,
or something.
Right, exactly.
Oh, everyone would do that.
No, I don't think so.
No,
you're swaying in a circular motion about 2.5 inches from center.
Yeah, all right.
I'll give you not quite. Is there a threshold of the circle, the radius of the circle?
Usually as time goes on,
you'll see it
get bigger. Yeah. Somebody who's not intoxicated will be able to stand there.
Your first move, would you shut up, Drew? Man's got to set himself. You don't just snap in there. You know, I'm not in front of Buckingham Palace.
Oh, you should see how you swayed that time.
All right.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, we've convinced ourselves. All right, now what's the next one? Oh, relax.
I'm satisfied.
You're satisfied.
Well, keep going. Give us some more.
That's called the modified position of attention. Now we're going to have you move on to the standing leg raise.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do is you're going to keep your hands down at your sides, your feet together so that your feet are touching.
Don't break anything in there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to tilt your head slightly back.
Let me get this chair.
And what I will do is I'll direct you to lift either your left leg or your right leg 6 to 8 inches off the ground.
And then I turn myself.
No, you're just going to stand there. These are really simple.
Legs together.
We forgot to mention, Drew. Part of the test is being able to follow directions.
Yeah. Well, look at him. Never been very good at that. Relax.
He's very well.
All right.
He's not loaded.
Ankles together or shoulder width?
No, you put your feet so that they're touching.
All right, feet touching.
Hands down at your sides.
They're not touching.
Would you shut up?
They're not touching.
Well, listen, pricko. My knees are touching together, for Christ.
You have to touch the soles.
All right.
And then what you're going to do is tilt
pricko.
Your head slightly
soul's
back.
Soul's going to touch your asshole.
You're going to tilt your head slightly back, and you're going to lift. I'll tell you which leg I want you to lift, and you're going to lift that respective leg 6 to 8 inches off the ground.
All right.
You'll hold it there until I tell you to place it down.
All right.
Your left leg.
All right.
6 to 8 inches off the ground, like this.
That's not quite there. You're about 4 inches.
Like this.
All right. That's 6 to 8.
Look.
Oh, you want to stick it out?
Straight out ahead of you.
All right. Here
we go.
Eight to go.
We can't let him drive home.
Oh, shut up.
No, seriously.
6 to 8 inches off the ground with your toe pointing forward.
Keep
it off the...
Yeah.
Place it back down.
Daddy's doing okay.
Left again.
I got a lot of coordination. What can I say?
All state, all valley.
Down.
All valley.
Yeah.
Football, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah. All right, is that okay?
Now we're going to do the finger-to-nose test, which you've probably seen before.
Yeah.
Now, or never had it done to you, of course.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, feet together
Feet together, keeping your hands down at your sides. What I'll have you do is you're going to tilt your head slightly back and to close your eyes, and I will tell you, I want you to touch the tip of your index finger, and I will tell you which one.
Is that this one?
Whether it's your right or left. You will take the tip of that index finger and place it to the tip of your nose. Not like this.
Right.
Like this. I want the tip of your finger to the tip of your nose.
All right. This I've tried sober, and I've had a
difficult time. Touch your head slightly back, keep your eyes closed. Your right finger. Down. Left.
Not bad.
Left again.
All
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's peeking.
Okay.
You know what's impressive? Yeah. It's a moving target.
Yeah,
he's swaying still. Yeah. Oh, no, he's going to. All right, he's going to a boxing demonstration, ladies and gentlemen.
The other one is when you do the walk the line test. Even though this room's a little small, we would normally have you do 9 steps forward, 10 steps back. On a straight line, doing heel to toe.
All right, let's see.
Just like this, keeping your hands.
He's inflated now.
Not looking down. You're going to look straight ahead.
All right.
You're going to place
heel to toe.
Heel to toe. Each step. Placing the heel in front of
like you're on a tightrope.
Oh, you're on a tightrope.
All right. I like that.
Now, keep in mind, 9 steps forward, 10
you like
steps
it.
Back.
You failed it.
I know, but I like that one. Right, look, what do I do? Look forward?
Look straight ahead. Keep your hands down at your sides.
All right. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Let me just go back.
7, 8, 9. And then this way.
Turn around.
Turn around and go back.
Pivot. Like that. Okay. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, okay, I can make it.
All right.
All right, I'm fine. I'm fit as a fiddle. Certainly could operate.
The only problem is the nystagmus gives it away.
The what?
The nystagmus.
The involuntary muscle bounce of the eyes.
Yeah. Try that one more time.
Is that enough to keep him from driving?
The problem is you have to, even though he's intoxicated, you have to show impairment.
All right, so try that one. Do this one more time. It's interesting. They hold a pen out in front of your eyes about, 10 inches?
10 inches away, and you track the tip of the pen with your eyes. You leave your head stationary.
Right.
And you look for the smooth pursuit of the eye.
But then
when you go to the extreme, you look for the involuntary muscle bounce.
Now what causes that bounce?
It's the interruption of the nerve signal.
Well, I don't know that anybody knows for sure what it is. It's a processing.
All right, let's try one more time. Ready? All right, so focus, don't move my head. Right.
You're going to track the tip of the pen with your eyes. Do not move your head.
Right.
Better.
Disqualified!
There, they bounce there.
Yeah. Right. Saw it again.
Not bad.
Obviously, the more intoxicated, the sooner the involuntary muscle bounces start.
The more intoxicated...
As you become intoxicated, the onset becomes sooner and sooner from center.
Right, starts bounce.
That's when they shine the light in your eye and look up here at the light. That's what they're doing.
Looking for that bounce.
Yeah.
You're also looking for
the redness.
That, and depending on what the drug is, you're looking for blown pupils or constricted pupils and the lack of reaction to light.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you, Officer X from the. And I call him Officer X because he's soon to be thrown off the force here at Culver City. No, thank you.
It was enlightening.
Jesus Christ.
That was my witness. A
couple cocktails on the plane never felt better. And let's not forget, Drew, that I can do everything better than anyone with a couple of beers in me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've never heard an alcoholic say that, by the way. Never.
I'll go do a handstand in there. I'll do the whole beginning of the HMS Pinafore. You ever hear me sing that? You know the words.
The Pirates of Penzance?
That's right.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. The newly sober Adam Carolla at the helm.
Yeah.
Doc Drew over there. Don't worry about it, Doc.
Smugly preening. Now that I've seen the level of I've documented the level of intoxication we're dealing with here.
I did a nice job right there. Pass with flying colors.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the man. The man's just trying to throw you off balance so he can get the upper hand, but it ain't going to work on Ace. Boy, am I drunk.
And by the way, the degree of impairment in those early tests, I'm impressed that you pulled off the rest of them. As I told you, he did not document impairment.
Yeah, thank you. Lucas?
Intoxication, no problem.
You know why? because I...
Because I can do anything better on two beers, yeah.
No, because I'm Mel. You know, and I know how to maintain. Mel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Lucas?
Yeah?
No, lightweight.
I see.
You're 14. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I called him last week about my mom's pill addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I got someone over here. And while she was at work, we went through her pills and stuff. And we found hydrocodone, somas.
Right, I remember you already had speculated that's what she was taking. Remember, she'd get home from school and she'd be out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, can you turn your radio down, young goofball? Yeah.
And so what's the question now?
I told him to leave her alone last week.
You did tell her that, that's right. So what's going on now?
Okay, and now she's doing really good. We went through her pills and I'm hiding them from her and... I can only give her, like, 2 Vicodin a day.
Oh, boy. Well.
Yeah.
Lucas, I know it feels like things are better, but when a 14-year-old is having to supervise the administration of medication to someone that's addicted, it's not a great situation. If I remember right, I think I was saying, please just go to Allitane and share with some people who have been through what you're dealing with. The fact that she's continuing to use any chemicals is a bad thing. She needs to get some treatment, not just cut down.
Yeah. All right, so, Lucas, it scares me. At 14, did you want to even admit that your parents were part of your family?
Well, how about having to dig through their things and administer their daily goods, their daily meals?
No, I mean, weren't you embarrassed to have parents at 14?
Oh, sure, that's a normal 14-year-old.
Yeah, like, if your folks were going to drop you off in front of the mall, they dropped you off down the street.
And you'd walk.
So your friends and see you
sure.
with some goofball. Namely, your dad dropping you off at the mall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just don't get so involved. He needs to go to Allitane.
But he
needs to encourage her to get work on it.
He's afraid for her safety, and he's taking control of it to try to...
But this is the best way for him to take control of it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's talk to Brandy, who's 14. Brandy?
Hi.
Hey.
My mom is in, like, a really bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend... He's, like, pushing her away from the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I live next door to my mom with my grandma.
Oh, that's always bad.
Mm.
What's worse, your grandma living next door or your kid living with your grandma who lives next door?
The kid with the grandma.
Yeah.
The kid. Because that means
still
the kid
grandma
can't
next
live.
Door is bad.
But that means the kid can't
All right.
live.
Yeah. All right. All right. So what's up there, Brandy? You're living with grandma.
Yes. And he... He doesn't physically abuse her, but he, like, mentally abuses her.
Yeah. Like, what's he do?
Does
he do that thing that the Culver City PD just did to me?
No.
He makes her close her eyes and put her ankles together and look up until she starts swaying around like
that's
the
mental.
Space needle during a 60-mile-an-hour wind.
Mental abuse.
No.
He's, like, she doesn't have any friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to go and do stuff, like, behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
And she... He won't let her wear makeup.
Okay, all right.
Well, what does she think about this?
She wants to get out of the relationship really, really bad, but she's afraid to.
Why?
Because I don't know, really.
Whose grandparents? Is it her parents that you're staying with?
Yes.
Okay, why don't the three of you all get together one day and try to figure out what the plan is?
Family?
Yeah, this is Grandma.
Yeah, what's Grandma's involvement? Is she able to step up and help you?
Okay, she went over there one day because he slammed my little brother up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because my little brother lives with my mom, but I don't.
Oh, my God.
All right.
And where's your dad?
He's gone.
Where is he?
He lives in Fort Worth.
Is he the same kind of guy that this one was?
I really don't know. I've never...
I imagine. I think good bet.
Well, how about you get your grandma... And your mom and you together, and you go on a little picnic, and you try to figure out what you're going to do to rectify this situation.
No.
No?
That's the pot brownie talking.
Who said that, dude? Hey.
I think you're going to need much more intervention.
I know.
I'm
saying, don't you guys want to get on the same page first? Can your grandmother, does she have any wisdom at all?
Yeah.
I mean, can she say to her daughter
and
say...
Will any authority with the daughter?
everybody has tried to get her to leave.
All right, here's the deal. Here is the deal. You got to leave her. If she will not leave this guy, Grandma, your little brother, you got to get the hell out of there. And if you can't get control of the situation and get out of there, you got to get some social services in there to help you, because you need a lot more manpower to deal with this uncontrollable a-hole. But the consequences of your mom not leaving him, she's going to lose everybody else. That's it. You got to get out of there. You got to protect yourselves.
No.
Oh, my God.
Man, are people stupid. What? And then the poor kids, they pick up the torch for the parents, and they're hiding the drugs, and they're saving mommy.
Right.
Oh, it is so pathetic. Listen, you should love your parents, but you know what? If they're on some kind of collision course with hell,
let them go.
They're
huh?
looking to meet their maker, or they just went out to some honky tonk and dragged home some meth addicted trucker. You know what? That's mama's bed. Let her get raped in it.
It's pretty painful though for kids to do that, and
it is. But you know what? It's a burning house. You got to get out of there.
Yeah.
So every man for himself. Start hanging out with your friends, get your grades going, and go off to college somewhere. Then one day you can just lie. Just lie about your family. They all died on the Titanic.
They were the Howells?
Yes.
They went out on a tour. And
3-hour tour. That's right. I told my friends my parents died in the Hindenburg. They were coming over here from Germany in 1925, and you've seen the horrible depictions, Susie. And then, you know, I cry and I say I'd rather not talk about it, and they usually leave it alone. Susie, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question. When I was ages 8 through 9.
Listen to that voice.
Huh?
Just say the alphabet for me. I've come to like the alphabet as you said it when you were in first grade. A, B, C, D.
Yes.
Go ahead.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Keep going.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
That's why.
Now I.
Oh, now I. Okay. All right. So you're 19.
Yeah.
All right.
When I was 8, I was molested.
Shocking.
Until...
Shocked.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
We are shocked by that. And what happened?
I never got counseling, but this guy was Hispanic. And ever since then, I mean, you know, I didn't do the whole promiscuity thing.
Good.
Actually, straight from it, I sheltered myself from anything to do with sex.
Right. How's it going now?
I can't be with anyone Hispanic.
All right, well, that's okay. But can you be with anyone, period? Not really,
kind
no.
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, I was, again, doing some little research over the week, and there's some evidence now that if this kind of thing happens to you at the right age, you can not just only have psychological dissociation, in other words, be a freeze reaction and become a good victim, but you can also have somatic dissociation, where you can disconnect from parts of your body.
Hmm.
We occasionally hear about people that don't feel anything below their waist. Remember those kinds of calls?
Yeah, what about Hispanic mascots such as the Frito Bandito?
Conquistadors.
Speedy Gonzalez. Folks like that. You know, like out front of the Mexican restaurant, you got the guy napping with the sombrero. You know, sure, he's made of fiberglass.
The coffee mascot.
Yeah, what about Juan Valdez? I think he's a Colombian guy.
He's Hispanic.
It's Hispanic?
It's
okay. Could you be around a Fortune 500 company-type mascot? What about the Chihuahua from
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
I cry when I see it.
You do.
Ooh, that's fine.
All right, so now you can't be around Hispanic guys.
No, well, I can't. I mean, I'll be friends with them, but I can't have anything. If I find that they have any attraction to me, I just freak out.
All right, well, probably best. Probably best.
But it's understandable given what happened to you. Well, all
probably
right,
best.
So, but you're able to function with
probably
other guys.
Best.
Yeah, well, see, I've only been with, I lost my virginity last August.
Probably best. Probably.
And, yeah, but I was drunk.
You're drunk. Probably best.
Yeah,
and
probably.
Are you Hispanic yourself?
Yeah, I'm half.
You're half?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
all right.
Well.
Who was this who molested you? Uncle or something?
He was my aunt's friend.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and how old was he at the time?
He's old. He was, like, older than my dad.
Mm.
He's,
all right. Well, listen, I can't judge anybody else's culture, Drew, so I don't know if that was right or wrong. I really don't. I can't judge. It's a different culture. I don't know if, you know, guys in their 40s effing 8-year-olds is a good thing or a bad thing. I can't judge. You understand? It's not my culture. So I'm sorry, Susie. You need to get some therapy.
Is it too late?
Absolutely not. You're right in a ripe time zone to have it done.
And you know what? You may never be into Hispanic guys, and that's
right.
Fine.
It's sort of this implicit biology is left imprinted on your brain, and that may affect your ability to have relationships with guys that remind you of that experience.
I wouldn't try to fight that one. If that got carved in early, it's going to be a tough one to get around. And
it's amazing if she'd be able to have a normal relationship with anybody if they're all that.
And where was she calling from?
Fresno.
Ooh. Mm. A lot of Hispanic guys there. She got to move to a place where they don't have so many. Like Mexico. They have less there now than Fresno. Hey, you know, speaking of racism, Drew, my agent got a call from the guy from the Asian Defamation League or something.
I like
they call
that.
Every
for,
once
for,
in
because
a while.
Of this show or because of the mansion?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? They always want to talk. But I was thinking back, you know, and the Asians, of all the people, really, I don't give too much to the Asians.
Too much? Serious?
Yeah, that's Jew for bad. For crap.
Yeah.
What'd you say? I mean, I've made the statement that we should clean out all junior colleges except for Asians and let them stay behind because they're hardworking people and they get an education and move on. Talked about the reverence for the old folks.
You've made some statements, though, that have been uncomfortable. I don't remember what they were, but I remember feeling like, ooh.
Good at math, nothing wrong with that.
No, but when you actually talk about the culture, not about the stereotypes.
Well, I mean, okay, but let's face it. Let's not overdo the culture over here. Oh, here's all I'm saying. Anyone, you close your eyes, Drew.
Yeah.
You're prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm.
Prisoner of war in any war. World War II or whatever, Korean, Vietnam, whatever you want. Who do you want to get captured by, the Asians or the Americans?
Americans.
Well, why? Whoa.
Well, Americans are anybody, though.
Racist. Racist. Oh, because one group gives you a diaper and a half a cup of rice and then marches you until you die? Oh, I see. Racist. Interesting.
See that kind of stuff.
Yeah, listen. Good. Kiss my ass, then. Oh, yeah. What? It didn't happen?
No. I mean, these sort of bizarre.
Oh, those noises?
Yeah.
That's funny. Listen, lighten up, all of you. Lighten up, you racist Asians. You get it the best. Believe me, you get it the best. I mean, the Jews get it worse, the black worse, the Mexicans get it worse.
What is it?
It. You know.
What's it?
What you got coming. You know what I'm saying?
They got the least it.
Every culture's got a few good things. It's got a few funny things.
Culture not to be confused with ethnicity?
That's the same thing.
Same thing
to me.
For you. All right.
Yeah.
Just clarifying.
A few good points, a few bad points.
All right.
That's
Asian,
all.
Asians, lots of good.
Asians, more good.
Yeah.
And I think, Drew, I'm not putting words in your mouth, I give more good to the Asians than the bad.
You do, except...
Thank you.
Except your... lack of understanding of their culture sometimes makes it seem...
No, I know how it goes.
...real derogatory. There.
Kill the rhinos and the whales.
Yeah,
cut out the bear pancreas. No, I know how it goes. Sure.
You know, whaling. Especially on a couple of beers.
Sure. It's great. It's the mystic... it's the truth. It's the truth. That's where you get... Drew, you know, because as a doctor, you love the ancient wisdom of the... of the Asian medicines, right?
We just got off course and got into this crazy Western stuff.
That's
where
right.
Life expectancies went from 30 to 90.
That's right.
What a mistake that was.
All right, Drew, don't make fun. All right, we'll take a little break. And listen, if any of you wussers have a problem with any of this, you just call the show. Because it doesn't work to call anywhere else. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It is Loveline, and I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. It's back to the phones we go, and we'll go to line three. Moby is coming in here on Sunday night, by the way. Moby. And Drew, 15.
Andrew? Turn your radio off, please.
I'm sorry. Turn off the radio.
Let's talk to you while I'll get back to Andrew. Tony?
Yeah.
You're 21?
That's right.
What's up?
Not much. My brother's contemplating a sex change. He's actually really serious about this, and he's looking for a place to get it done and everything. And I'm pretty, I'm nervous for him.
Yeah.
I don't really know the procedure or the risk factors involved, and I'd like to be as informed as possible so I can be there for him to kind of help, you know, get him through, like, making the right decision and stuff.
Yeah. How long's he been looking for a place to do this?
I don't know how long he's been looking for a place. He's been talking about it for, like, the past 4 years.
Yeah.
He's been saving up money.
Does he dress as a woman now?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. Is he dealing with a therapist now?
Not at all.
So he hasn't even started the process. No, he won't do it.
This is either a bogus call or you don't know anything about the process.
What's that?
It's either a bogus call or you don't know anything about the process.
Right, that's what I'm asking. The process of the surgery?
No.
Surgery comes much later. They make them go through therapy and live as a woman for a while and take hormones. And surgery is something that comes much further down the line.
I had to get him into therapy. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't believe he needs it.
All right, well, no one will do a sex change, at least in this country, without first having, I think, a year of therapy.
Yeah.
So, but that's part of the program. You go to, you know, you're up in San Francisco, go to University of California, San Francisco. I'm sure they have people that advise people.
How old is he?
What's that?
How old
he's
is
two
he?
2 years older than me. He's 23.
All right.
The connection's terrible.
Jesus Christ. I picture a guy like painting the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
When a rainstorm blew in.
Right.
And he's tethered to one of the top rungs, one of the pylons up there. So here's the deal. Everyone, stop worrying about their family members. Number one. You got to look out for your own. Number two, this guy will not get this operation until he's lived as a woman for a year. And done some, like, therapy for a year.
Yeah. It's longer than that, I bet you, too, before they actually do the operation.
Well, they start getting the hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
And then they start dressing like women. And once they prove they're completely sane, then they surgically remove the penis.
Yes.
I always find that part ironic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like you, but think about it. And the one thing you can
female admit, trapped inside a male's body. Drew, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Because that stuff gets set so early in life, it's like trying to talk you out of boobs.
How dare you attempt to talk me out of boobs?
Watch a wave of rage come over you. No, I mean that talking this person out of not being a female.
But how
is
about
like talking you?
All right,
out of
but
boobs.
what about if I think I'm Napoleon?
Yeah, but
what do we do?
We take medication.
We have my knees removed to shorten me. I wear a Nehru-type jacket, and I have a three-cornered hat. Oh, whatever. What was his hat's call? Napoleon.
Napoleon hat?
Okay. Andrew?
Yes.
You're 15.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hey, like, me and my girlfriend have this, well, it's more me. She'll go down on me, you know, like, once a month or so.
Sure.
15,
and when
no
she
problem.
Does, like, I ejaculate for, like, a good 3-4 minutes. And I'm wondering, is this some, like, disorder or what it is? Or if it's just me or my tank's producing a lot or what it
is? 3-4 minutes will be the length of the commercial break that's coming up.
Four minutes is the length of the commercial break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, 4 minutes and you'd be going down the stairs in a kayak.
Yeah.
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 That's why I don't know. Like,
oh my God.
Is it something wrong with me or what is it?
Smoke detector?
Oh, yes.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Let me see if your smoke detector's going off.
Is my smoke detector's going off?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, that's not the smoke detector.
No, but I still heard the smoke detector.
I did too. Yeah.
In the background, that was my cell phone.
There.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, that wasn't your cell phone. You heard what we heard?
Wait, what?
Hold on.
Check the clock.
Hold on. You'll hear a little chirp in a second.
Right okay.
All right, ready? Give it about 5 more seconds.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing to someone that's ejaculating for 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I know we heard it.
Huh?
just went off again.
That was my cell phone.
No. At the end of the cell phone. We heard
at the end of the cell phone.
There it is.
Oh, that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm playing with something in my hand.
What are you playing with?
My cell phone clip.
No. Andrew. Drew, I know this show is distilled down to us seeing if we're right or not.
Uh-huh.
Or going insane. But, Andrew, please listen to me, boy.
Yeah.
You're inside your house right now?
Yes.
Are you in your bedroom?
Yes.
Is there a smoke detector on the ceiling of the bedroom?
Yes.
Yes. Please walk over to that smoke detector.
Okay.
Hold the phone toward it.
Okay.
All the way up there. Take it away from your mouth and hold the phone receiver up to the smoke detector.
Okay, when do I put it back on my ear?
When you hear a noise.
Okay.
Put it up there.
All it did is flash.
Shh. Stay there, my child.
What?
Shh.
I'm confused.
Yeah, no kidding. Come on, I know we heard it.
I know it too.
We're gonna sit here for an hour if we have to. I know we heard the damn thing.
I know.
What's going on?
You stand right there and keep looking at that. We're gonna come back to you in a minute. Just keep staring at the smoke detector, right?
All right.
You tell if it does anything.
And it'll be 4 minutes when we come back.
It'll be 4 minutes, and you keep a sense of how long 4 minutes is too, because when we come back, it will have been 4 minutes.
All right.
4 minute ejaculation beginning
now. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Moby coming in here on Sunday night.
Let's see if Andrew's mopping up right now.
Andrew?
Yeah.
There you go. 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that about how long you go for?
In between about that length and a minute less, 3 to 4 minutes. And so I'm just wondering, like, is that normal? Because I don't know how long, you know.
Fluid comes out of you for a minute less than what we just all sat through.
Yeah, I said at the beginning 3 to 4 minutes, so.
Yeah. And a continuous flow of fluid out of your penis for one whole record song.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Well, I mean,
It may dribble for a while.
And you may have contractions.
I mean, like, it'll go, and then, like, towards probably, like, the last minute or so, it'll start to, like, slow down. But, I mean, it's still going.
Still fluid being emitted.
So, I mean, I don't know. Is this
just
normal?
Just like the beginning.
Yeah. And because, like I said.
I don't know.
It's not possible.
Bogus.
It's not possible.
Bogus.
But you can't urinate for 4 minutes.
He just said, is that normal?
Yeah.
All right. Bogus, Andrew.
How about the smoke detector? Did it make a noise?
I'm sorry?
Did the smoke detector make a noise?
No.
Really? Swore we heard that chirp.
Dude, I can make the chirp happen right now.
All right. What is that?
He, like, lives at Best Buy.
Nah, that wasn't it.
Might have been it.
All right. I don't think that was it.
That was it.
Yeah, it might have been it.
All right. Where are we going here, Drew?
Oh, my goodness. I lost some calls. Here we go.
Let's talk to Matt, who's 15. Matt?
Hi.
What's up?
I called about a week ago. I overdosed on methamphetamine.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I've been having no problems with it until my school just started, and I have PE yesterday, and we were running track, and I did fine. I outran most people, actually, but about 20 minutes afterwards, it felt like I was overamped again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was jittery and nauseous, and it felt like I was in a cold sweat.
Okay.
And
that's panic attack, basically.
I had to take a test after it, and I couldn't concentrate.
All right, so you're having panic attacks, and that's a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. It's a common consequence of what you've been dealing with.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't even consciously thinking of
it. It's a biological event. You've altered your brain chemistry by what you did.
Right.
And it predisposes you to panic attacks.
So now what?
Didn't we talk about you getting evaluated before for what you've been through?
I think so.
You could start getting depressed next. That's what you're start feeling next. A lot of depressive symptoms.
So what?
See someone, a psychiatrist who's used to dealing with drug and alcohol addiction.
Okay. Let's talk to Stephanie. Stephanie?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, 15.
How are you guys?
Oh, man.
We're good now.
Good? Okay. I haven't talked to my dad in about 4 years.
How come?
Just a custody battle, and he's just kind of a dickhead.
Uh-huh.
And so I was talking to my mom, and she said that he was a, oh gosh, I can't think of the word. He was a codependent.
Mm-hmm. Of what, to whom?
To his dad, because his dad was an alcoholic.
Okay.
And then his mom was a codependent to her dad.
Okay.
And so I was wondering, is this going to have any effect on me? Am I going to be like a codependent when I grow up?
Well, codependent is a very, very inaccurate term, and people toss it around as though it means something specific. It doesn't mean something specific. All I know from what you've told me is that your parents both had traumatic childhoods, and they both have addiction in their family, and both come from alcoholic family systems.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely impacts on who they are and how their emotional worlds are put together. And that impacts on you.
Okay.
Now, does it mean you two will be codependent? No. Does it mean you're going to have major psychiatric symptoms? No. Does it mean it's going to influence how you regulate your emotional life and how you feel about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're 15. You're already thinking about this stuff. You'll be okay.
Yeah, and another thing, I know you can have, like, relationships that are mean and, you know, and that can hurt you, but can you have friendships like that, too?
Sure.
Yeah, because I had a friend, and he was really mean to me. Like, he used to call me bad things.
Well, that's a kind of a codependency, right?
Did you like him as more than a friend?
At first I thought he did, and so, I don't know. I don't go for guys that I like. I go for guys that like me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Smart.
Yeah. But codependency is about putting other people's needs ahead of yours, and that's kind of what you do. You subjugate your own needs to someone else's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine, baby.
Okay.
I mean, you're 15. You're already thinking about it.
Well, I always think about my future, but whatever.
No, pay attention. But actually, you know, go to some Al-Anon meetings. Get a sponsor. Start changing your emotional environment you live in, and you might be happier.
Yeah, you're smarter than your whole family at 15.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. All right, now you got to keep your grades good and go far away to college.
Yay, that's the plan. That's the plan.
Boulder or something.
Oh, Boulder. Woo.
Yeah, go to Boulder.
Yeah.
That's, what, 5 minutes away from where you are?
Yeah, but I go up there with my sister all the time.
All right, good times there, baby.
All right, thank you guys very much.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Ah, that's what I like.
Think about good codependents. They make you feel so good.
Yeah. Alex?
Hey.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, the only way, I've had one sexual partner before, and we were going out for about 8 months, and I've never had an orgasm, like, orally or, like, through intercourse or anything. The only way that I can is to, like, in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you guys talking about this before, and I was just wondering if it's normal or if it's dangerous or whatever.
It's normal. It works for a lot of women.
No, I'm saying, like, do a lot of people do it?
A lot of people do it. You're ahead of the game in the fact that you found something that works for you.
Well, I've known since I was like 11.
All right.
Well,
like,
it's,
when I was 11, I like was in the hot tub and
Yeah. Women, it's no wonder that they found a way to masturbate in the tub
But that's the only way I can, though.
Because they spend so much time in the tub.
About 80, 90% of their day in the tub. You better figure out how. Now, if they could only figure out a way to make an omelet in the tub, that's what we should be teaching them.
And Adam,
but they need another excuse to go back to the tub, these broads.
Yeah.
Joke?
Yeah, that's a joke. Yeah, and Drew holds up one finger when I make a joke, so I know he knows.
Yeah,
and he
doesn't get mad at me if I'm cutting him off.
You lie there and you open your legs and you let the water run down on you. Yes,
I have to like hold myself up though.
You have to hold yourself up.
There's a bizarre twist
like
on this.
Kind
of. The last couple of girls I've talked to, each of them had their own thing that they had to do with it.
Yeah,
they had to
like
lie down,
to
they had to sit up, they had to stand up, they had to lie down, they had to float, they had to whatever. And whatever. That's good. Yeah. It's all good.
Is it dangerous?
No, it's not dangerous. However, Adam, what you don't know is that Anderson had a friend, apparently somebody that visits here very frequently, and he won't tell me which of the two girls that come here frequently, mm-hmm. or three. It is that... And Anderson, why don't you tell us what happened? Anderson? Yeah, come on.
What, that she got her back messed up. And
yeah.
Was trapped in there and
trapped.
Terrified that her roommate was going to come home and she was in there for like 45 minutes.
With her feet up on the wall.
That would be so embarrassing.
With the water running?
I can't move.
She got the water off with her foot.
Sweet. And what'd she do? She just seized up?
Yeah, something locked up in her back and she couldn't move.
Interesting. One time I pulled a calf muscle when I was beating off, but I was able to shake it off.
If you get scared, you're standing up, you might fall and hit your head. And,
yeah. All right, so Alex, this is normal.
Okay.
It's a good thing.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right,
good times.
Okay.
All right. Poor women, you know, they even when they're 16 and they're not really that interested in guys, they're still so confused that they're not really that interested in guys physically. And they're not sure if it's normal, and they feel bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was any tangible truth that there are evidence that women just at 15, 16 aren't that physically into guys, it's the part where they can't have an orgasm really says it all to me. Yes, they like the part where they cuddle, and they like the part where they go to the movies, and they like walking hand in hand
even
and
like
all
the
that.
Being received part, they like something going in. They
yeah,
do like that.
And the sort of
the
intimacy
yeah.
of the whole thing. Yeah. But in terms of does a 15, 16-year-old girl really enjoy sex? What percentage of them actually have orgasms? I mean, doesn't that kind of isn't that where the answer lies?
It tells you something.
Yes. Yes, and one could extrapolate from that, Drew, that I don't know what the age is that the average woman begins to have orgasms with a partner.
Mm.
And I know it varies.
One could extrapolate.
But one, one could say that's the age.
What? That's the age at which sex becomes enjoyable?
That's the age that they're sort of
directed.
Meant yeah. to get it.
34.
All right, so there you go. Everyone's got about another 20 years to wait is calling this show. Jennifer?
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. You're 17. Tickled
That's
pink
right.
to have you on the program this evening.
Thanks a lot. I was wondering if you could shine a little light on this life called gift today.
All right.
Well, let's see here. I think that I may be predispositioned to some alcoholism and maybe even some substance addiction. Now, I don't drink, but I have occasionally in the past, and I see myself going through these cycles to where I'll be with a steady boyfriend and not do anything, and then about after a year, I get bored, and maybe this is normal, but then I'll start going for the bad boys and getting in trouble, getting grounded, partying, drinking, and doing speed. Those are my two favorite, are speed and alcohol. Now, I like to also come back down and then go back to the sober life for a while, but it seems to be a perpetual cycle that I just can't...
Go back to what life?
Sober life.
Sober life.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you got a little energy with these substances. Maybe you shouldn't do any of them.
Are you able to be alone?
It's tough. And
yeah, well, how do you feel when you're alone?
I feel like I'm bored. I mean, bored. I want to.
Yeah.
I like to read when I'm alone.
Yeah.
But I always feel like I'm missing out on something.
Oh, missing out. Not empty. Not an emptiness doesn't sweep
over. Well, yeah. It's just kind of like this constant search for what's better, you know, meaning. And that, and I also understand that I have alcoholism both sides back. You know, the typical story, mom lives with her mom, and she's 40, and she's been married 5 times. Dad's, you know, he's a good guy. He makes money.
Well, it's hard to tell what you're describing, because you're describing what sometimes are called borderline traits, when people have to be in chaotic relationships and lots of drama and feel empty and can't be alone. But you know what? That also describes every 17-year-old, which is why you basically try not to make that kind of a diagnosis when someone's 17. And to make things even more complex, most addicts, alcoholics, when they're in their disease, will sort of appear either borderline or narcissistic. So there are other things that might be operating here, and you may not truly be one a borderline, but you may have those traits because of your age, because of your biology, because of your family history of alcoholism and addiction and the family systems you come from. So be careful. You're sort of establishing a trajectory for the rest of your life here.
Maybe. Yeah, but is it easier? I got fixated on the being alone part because it was something that rings true for me. And I couldn't stand being alone when I was young. But now that I look back on it, for a guy who didn't read, I wasn't one of these homos that grabbed a comic book and got lost in the fantasy of the Green Lantern like some of my other geek buddies did.
Mm-hmm.
But no cable, no satellite, no TiVo, and no computer. hey, man, you were alone. You're alone.
Yeah.
And if you weren't much into, like, painting or reading, you were a S out of luck.
Well, you were also depressed.
I was depressed, but yeah. Here's what I'm saying. If I had myself a nice full load of TiVo and a couple of porn movies and a VCR and an internet. And a video game, I may have still been depressed, but I would have been beating myself off like no. I wonder if I would have been okay being alone. I mean, I was bored out of my mind.
I got news for you. Masturbating excessively and beating yourself to holy hell, as you say, would not qualify as managing being alone well.
But here's what I'm saying.
You might have felt good being alone, but you would have been managing.
So be it. So be it. If I was 15 and dreaded just going into my room and being alone,
yeah.
If I had an internet and I had a computer and I was going to fire it up and see a picture of Adrian Barbeau's jugs from some Yahoo website.
You just sit there staring. You'd never get up.
You couldn't have got the door closed faster behind me. And if the phone would have rang, I wouldn't have picked it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's why you don't pick the phone up.
And, 700 channels of satellite TV and all the sports and everything. I mean, maybe I would have been into being alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's easier for kids. Your kids can be alone easier now than you could have. True?
Yeah. Yeah.
They sit at the internet.
But when you have that kind of depression and unhappiness and emptiness, it's hard to be without people and arousal. Now, the arousal piece you get from the internet and whatnot, but you still need people around. It's still hard. So it becomes uncomfortable at a certain point. You're remembering that?
I'm just...
Or is that just the pot brownie coming back?
No, I'm just part of both. But I'm just thinking about not... I'm just thinking about if you're not into reading as a kid and you grew up back in our day and you didn't have any cable, you're kind of screwed.
Yep.
All right. Greg?
Larry, what's up?
29.
How's it going? Sorry, I had to spit some chew out there.
Good for
you. My mouth's kind of full.
What's up?
Well, I was calling to see, just got out of what seemed to be a really great relationship for like a year and a half, and I just kind of had to end it because I was cheating on my girlfriend, and it was just not really, just really couldn't live with myself doing that.
It was a good relationship, but you were still cheating.
Well, yeah, as good as I've had.
How long was the relationship?
It was a year and a half.
How old was she?
November. She's 27, just
and
28.
How many times did you cheat in that year and a half?
Probably five or six times.
Did you have relationships? I mean, did you maintain relationships with any of these women?
Well, one girl from work I have. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like off and on because we just got email addresses. So I was kind of like, it wasn't just like an accidental thing. I kind of
maybe you shouldn't be in a relationship right now.
So, I mean, you just... I don't know. The reason I guess I'm wondering is some of it's just been with girls, some of it's been with like strip clubs, or occasionally I'll drive through Nevada, and I've got these places you can go in Nevada.
Prostitutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, them ranches.
Yeah.
All right.
They don't have a lot of cattle on those ranches.
No, there's a few heifers on there, but
yeah. Well, that's the truth.
All right, but listen, this is you're 29 years old. This is where you're at.
But I think...
I mean, his balls little, are like 23.
It's a little excessive at 29.
It's a little bit. He's getting to the end of the run.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I'd give him another two or three years.
Let me ask a couple of questions.
All right.
Sir, something weird going on with the phone.
Greg, any alcoholism in your family?
I understand there is, but...
Where?
I don't know who.
You don't know how far back it is?
My parents drink regularly.
What's your ethnicity?
Caucasian.
Where are your ancestors from?
Don't know anything about my dad's side. Like Lithuania and, you know, England and, you know, we've been in the States.
All right. And were you sexually abused growing up at all? Or physically abused?
You know, not that I know of, but I have, like, weird... I don't know. When I was really little, I would go to my grandmother's house.
Mm-mm.
And I had a cousin who would always make these forts, and she'd always make a bathroom. And that's all I can remember. So, obviously, she was...
She put a bathroom in the fort, huh?
Was she doing things in the bathroom?
No, not that I know of.
All right.
But I don't know if it's just something I don't remember.
Greg, the girls like you? Can you get away with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
All right. It's tough to tell guys who can get away with a lot not to get away with anything,
well,
especially when they're in their 20s.
There is that alpha male type who just... Women kind of throw themselves, or they present to them a lot.
Yeah,
and some of these guys kind of go for it. Some of them get disordered. They get a disorder. They get compulsive sexually, and you know, are unhappy with it. Greg is kind of on the border. He doesn't add up to sexual addict or sexual compulsive. His history doesn't.
All right, so
maybe Adam's right.
Then give it a couple of years, and then
don't be in relationships in the meantime. See what happens here. See if you get out of your system.
Tanya.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I met this guy. Actually, I saw him for the first time about 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
You were 13.
Yeah. All
right.
Because he moved down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year ago, we had our first conversation. And so we started talking, and we had one conversation. And then a couple of months ago, I found out his cell phone number. And I keep calling him, you know, telling him I want to be with him or whatever. And he calls me back and he tells me to leave him alone or whatever.
How old is he?
He's 23.
Uh-huh.
And, like, why is this so hard for me to leave him alone? I mean, I don't know anything about him, but it's just so hard for me to leave him alone. And, I mean, is there something wrong with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You need to get some help with this.
Does he know who it is?
Yeah, I mean, he knows who I am.
He knows it's you calling on the cell phone?
Yeah.
And he politely tells her just to cut it out.
Yeah.
He tells you to leave him alone.
Yeah. I mean, you're lucky he doesn't call the police.
He has before.
Ooh.
But, I mean, it still hasn't stopped me.
Really?
Yeah.
From calling his cell phone.
And just like the other night, like, he was telling me, he called and he was, like, having this heartfelt conversation with me and he, like, gave me his life story.
He called you?
Yeah.
Why'd he call you?
I don't know. And then at the very end of the conversation that we had, he was like, but I'm just asking you to please just leave me alone. And it's so hard for me to just leave him alone.
Wait a minute. Did he just call you out of the blue or was he returning one of your many cell phone calls?
He was returning one of my calls.
Okay.
But I don't understand why he called and, like, gave me his life story and then at the end...
Because he has bad boundaries.
Yeah, people do this.
Yeah.
I get in long conversations with people I shouldn't talk to.
The wrong numbers and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is you're stalking the guy. He wants you to leave him alone. He's too old for you. And what's going on in your life?
I don't know.
Why, are you depressed?
Oh, yeah.
I used to be on antidepressant. I used to be on Zoloft, but they took me off of it.
You need to be on something, Tanya, because this is...
Can you forget this guy's cell phone number?
I doubt it. And everybody, you know, they say it's because my dad's dead. But, I mean, my dad died when I was 12, and ever since then, like, right after my mom got remarried, so I've always had, like, a father figure around.
Okay, well, no, you this is... you can't say specifically this is a delayed grief. I'm sure that's part of it. But you do need help, Tanya. You need help before you get yourself in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, I mean, because I've never been like this towards any guy that I've liked before.
I understand that it doesn't
Drew,
make
let's
sense.
Give Tanya your cell phone, and then you can call Drew's cell phone, Tanya, each time you want to call this guy's.
Then I'd probably blow up your number because I call him about 3 or 4 times a day.
Drew never picks up. You just get this crappy answering thing. And even then, you can't leave a message.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
Yeah, that's me.
The great thing about Adam's machine is you can leave a message. He never finds it, never checks it.
Because, like, I'll leave messages and then...
All right, Tanya, I understand you don't like the way you're being, that it doesn't make sense and you can't understand it, but there's a part of your brain, probably on the right side of your brain, which is telling its tale of woe or trying to solve its tale of woe by this behavior. And it's compulsed and it's disordered and you need help with it. So please do get help.
You know, it's so sad. I call people's answering machines. I get fired up about something and the machine cuts me off. I mean, I ramble too long.
Yeah.
But then I realize it's the same thing my mom does on my machine.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's where you get this from. Does she react the way you do if someone tries to speak while you're rambling?
Now, what my mom does, which always gets me into trouble, is she calls and leaves a message. I hear her voice, and I immediately hang up on that message. realizing that she's called, I owe her a phone call. And then oftentimes run into confusion, like last week, like when I said to her, where's Grandma? And she said, you were supposed to pick Grandma up. And I said, I didn't know. I said, oh, yes, it was on your message. And I can never quite, you know, it's always that, oh, I just checked it from the car, got that you called, you know, but I never have the heart to say that I'll never listen to the whole message.
Wait a minute. You never listen to anybody's message. I'm surprised you even know that she's called.
I will, yes.
You must check your messages just to see if she's called and then erase it. Because you don't make note of anyone else's calls.
True. When you come home and you know there's 5 or 6 messages waiting for you on your phone, don't you look at that as potential trouble?
Yeah.
You do, right?
Sure.
All right, then why listen?
Well, but then everyone around you needs to accept that and know that. And you got to convey that to your mom.
I think
she's the only one
it.
In your life that doesn't know that.
They get used to it. All right.
Got a break.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Adam and Dr. No Good Drew over here. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Moby coming in here on Sunday. Let's talk to Kimberly, who's 19. Kimberly?
Hi.
Hey.
How y'all doing tonight?
Yeah. Turn down your what's it, who's it.
My what's it, who's it? Okay, hang on. Is it better?
No, it's not better.
My question was basically what's
going on. Don't be a fool, you idiot!
Oh, my God.
My girlfriend is, she's having problems giving affection and, like, oral sex in the relationship, and
there's that data model verse about him in there.
I'm sorry. I don't know. She's, like, sitting right here, and we've been fighting about this for, like, the last 2.5 hours, and I don't know. I listen to y'all's show every night.
Why don't you put her on the phone here real quick?
Okay.
And turn the radio down.
I'll just leave it.
I want to hear you go blah, 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 blah.
She won't talk to you.
Neneche. Nana wahake. Yanakakeche. Heneche. Yaha. Yanahe. Chisha. Nanakakai. Tanare. Chisha. Nana wahake. Yananaha. Naneche. Kawawa. Yayaba. Yakanache. Chisha. Nama. Hanakake. Yahe.
She won't talk to you at all. She thinks it's stupid that I'm calling.
Onababacha?
All right. And what is her reason for not reciprocating?
Hold on. I want to hear me in
okay,
India.
Hold on a sec. Hang on a second, Kimberly.
All right. And what is her reason for not reciprocating?
We missed it.
I don't know. What is this show? What's this show turned into, Drew?
You're lesbian. To you chanting.
Hey, Kimberly?
Yeah?
Here are your choices. You, my finger is moving toward the hang-up button. You're going to need to turn your radio down all the way and pick up the phone in 5 seconds. Ready, go. Five,
okay.
4, 3,
it's gone.
2.
Okay, good. All right, excellent.
Shh.
Moved on into the other room because she's in there listening to it.
All right.
She thinks it's completely stupid because all our friends could be listening, whatever.
All right. So, Kimberly, you're the lesbian?
They're both, right? She and her girlfriend.
All right.
And what is it you want from her that she's not giving you, precisely?
I mean, mostly just affection in return. And, you know.
What does that mean? What does affection in return mean?
Showing support and care.
So she is somebody that cannot be, what, affectionate? Or doesn't hug you or kiss you or caress you when you come home at night kind of thing?
No, like when she's in the mood to do it, like when she wants to do it, not like when she thinks I need it.
So she doesn't care about your needs, what you're picking up on.
I believe she cares about my needs. I mean,
then why doesn't she attend?
Next month it'll be a year-long relationship.
Why doesn't she attend to your needs then?
Huh?
If she cares about your needs, why doesn't she attend to them?
I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, Kimberly. She's a little nutty. You're a little nutty. Together, you're medium nutty, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're lesbian. Something happened to you that turned you lesbian. And that makes you a little bit nutty. But that's all right. You found each other. You can be nutty together. And here's what you do. If there's something in a relationship that you're not getting, you have to decide, is it that my partner's not giving it to me and it's sort of rightfully mine? Or is this my own thing?
Yeah, something I need that's, you know, can't be delivered.
Is this reasonable or unreasonable?
Right.
And if it's reasonable.
And if it's reasonable, then you should say to your partner, hey, this is what I need.
Right.
And it's really the way you manage sanity in life.
Right.
Which is, if you go to a restaurant and you say, I would like to eat some live baboon brain. And they say, oh, we're out of that. And you don't have to pitch a fit.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. But if you say, I'd like some iced tea, or could I have a lemon wedge? And they say, no, sorry, we don't do that.
Or they treat you like crap.
Then you can get a little angry and say, well, I'll not patronize this place again. Now, it's your chance, but you got to decide. But this is your whole life.
Yeah.
This is everything. When your boss comes in and says, I need this report by Monday, does he need the report by Monday? Or is this some kind of power play where he's attempting to be a prick? Who knows? In every relationship, this goes down on a daily basis. And that's how you can tell where you're at in a relationship.
Yeah.
And here's the problem with effed up people. Effed up people don't know that their requests are effed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how society views them. And you got to do this. So you got to ask, is this reasonable? And if you deem it reasonable, then you ask. And if you don't get it, then you have to move on. Isn't that sort of a simple sort of thumbnail approach?
It's simple, but people don't move on very easily. I was just looking at Amazon yesterday, a bunch of literature on borderline personality disorder. There's a bunch of books out there on how to live with people with these kinds of personality disorders. You might just look up borderline personality on Amazon. There's a book called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me, and other books like that help you sort of understand what you're dealing with here.
Brad?
That's me.
You're 18?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Tickled pink.
Well, hey, I want to start you off with a joke first anyways.
All right.
What's the difference between driving in the fog and going down on a girl?
I don't know. What?
Well, at least when you're going down on a girl, you know the asshole's in front of you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's good, man.
Well, hey, I got a problem here.
Yeah.
Well, obviously,
yeah.
Shut up, Anderson. Well, my girlfriend seems to like anal sex quite a bit, and that's the only way she's going to let me go. And she's almost like her brother's gay. I know that, and you know, I almost wonder if some of that's leaked into her.
Her brother's gayness is leaked in via her anus.
What does her liking anal sex have to do with being gay?
That's all she likes, and I mean,
well, I know that's disturbing to you, but what does that have to do with sexual orientation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like the first time we did it, her butthole was bigger than a maybe.
There we go.
Shut up, Anderson. I love you, Adam. I love you.
All right, good night, everybody.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. It was delivered well. Give him that.
Yeah, it was fine, yeah.
It was, and we had the typical, you know, here's what was good about that. It was the typical nonsensical logic of our callers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It followed the kind of logic our callers call with.
Just dumb enough to work.
Yeah.
Right.
And delivered straight.
Yeah. Could her girlfriend's brother being gay cause her to like anal sex?
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
Well done.
Well done. Touché. Bravo, my friend. All right. We've met our equal, Drew.
Yes.
I say it's time that we adjourn to our quarters discuss a new strategy for the next break. But we'll be back. Why? Jerome's hoping you chime in.
We have to.
That's right. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Doc Drew. Forget about that phone number. You know, Moby. Yeah, the Mobster's coming in here Sunday night. Maybe with a little coaxing, we can get him to drop trow.
My yeah. God. Maybe a little Indian chant with him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. I could, maybe he could sample one of my Indian rants for this next project.
Yeah.
All right, let's hop back to the phone. Sally?
Hi.
25?
Pardon?
You're 25 years of age.
Yes.
What's the problem?
Angry.
Okay, I wanted to talk to Dr. Drew.
Same, same.
Because I'm an SAA. Mm-hmm. And
how long have you been in the program?
Got about a year now.
Okay.
Okay. And that guy who called and said he cheated on his girlfriend even though he wanted to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that he couldn't live with the consequences of his sexual behavior.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he said he broke up with his girlfriend
because
he couldn't live with what he was doing.
Right. He wanted to continue what he was doing and didn't think it was right to be in the relationship given what he was doing.
Yeah, but someone who cheats on his girlfriend 5 to 6 times, including with prostitutes, that doesn't sound like someone who's sexually addicted to you?
It's suspicious for it, and that's why we went down that path and started asking, but couldn't quite make the diagnosis. And he didn't have the history that typically goes along with it. And to be a sex addict, you really have to have the biology of addiction, which he couldn't confirm. So
that sounded absolutely like sex addiction to me.
It might be.
And listen, if you're a 29-year-old female, maybe it is. But guys have a little different biology, you know?
A guy at 29 he's an adult at that point. He's not like a little kid. Like if he had said he was 22, maybe.
That's what we said. In fact, we said 23. This would be a little more acceptable. It's kind of weird. We're concerned about it, but we couldn't confirm a disorder.
No, I'm just saying, still different biology for males, regardless of the age.
It's highly suspicious. It really was.
Yeah,
it was very suspicious.
Well, and sort of. Yeah. It didn't sound like he wanted to marry this chick, and it sounded like he was one of these guys who shouldn't be in a relationship.
Yeah, but spending time with prostitutes, that's like an absolute sign of sexual addiction.
Not all people who go to you're saying that anyone that visits a prostitute is a sex addict, which is not accurate.
For the most part.
And that's not accurate.
How do you know so much, baby?
She's a recovering person.
Yeah, but
just
so what?
Just my time spent in recovery and spent with men who are recovering.
Yeah, you will see all the men who are recovering sex addicts go to prostitutes, but not all men that go to prostitutes are sex addicts. You see the difference?
I guess. I don't know. I just think that something about, I don't know, pain to have sex with a woman, just that cycle, it seems to be,
It's very much a part of that. And if somebody is a sex addict, they usually do that kind of thing. But you can't say that because somebody goes, they are a sex addict.
A lot of guys can't get laid, you know? Yeah. What happened to you? Someone did something to you?
What happened to me?
Yeah.
I had, like, nothing really. Just, unlike most girls in America, I was very low self-esteem, and I wanted someone to treat me as though they loved me. And I went about it the wrong way because I thought sex was something you did
But usually there's some sort of trauma survivorship that kind of wires that in.
Not always, but
usually there's some sort of trauma survivorship.
I'm not disagreeing with you because being in meetings, the majority of people do have some kind of sexual abuse history, but
or some sort of trauma history that creates that wiring that makes the connection between intimacy and sex.
I have another question.
Yeah. No.
Okay. No.
All right, that's enough. No. You know why? Because I don't like it when Drew's explaining something to somebody, and then as soon as he gets his last syllable out, they go, I have another question. Do the part where you go, I see. It's interesting. Oh, and by the way, I have another question. You just jump in with the other question part. It's as if you weren't listening to the last explanation.
My favorite part is like, Usually there's a trauma history. Well, I go to meetings and everyone there has a trauma history. Usually there's a trauma history. Well, I reserve judgment, but I'll agree with you because I go to meetings and everyone there has a trauma history. Yeah, usually there's a trauma history.
That's right. All right there, Sally. Hey, good times over that essay, but I don't like your attitude, so you don't get your follow-up question. Gary?
Yeah.
You're 25.
I am.
You're bisexual?
Yes.
And you're attracted to prepubescent guys?
Well, no, not exactly. I'm bisexual.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, basically, guys. I'm attracted to hot girls and hot guys. You know, hey, if you're good looking, you know, let's go upstairs and F or whatever. But
yeah,
in addition to that,
this is sexual addiction.
In addition, well, I'm exaggerating, but in addition to that, I do have a very strong attraction to recently pubescent boys, 12, 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing I've ever acted on. It's nothing I would ever act on.
Did you have something happen when you were 12?
No. And I mean, and that's the deal. I had a normal childhood, nothing weird sexual, no bizarre experience.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
21, 22.
Ooh.
Are you bipolar?
No.
Who'd you lose it to, a guy or a gal?
A girl.
Interesting. And when did the whole idea about guys crop up?
It had been there all along.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you're not just gay?
I'm sorry?
Are you sure you're not just gay?
I don't think so, because, you know, I'll see a good-looking girl and, you know, be real attracted to her and, you know, have fantasies in my head or whatever.
Gary, true bisexual.
Could
I'm
be.
Sorry.
Yeah. Could be a true bisexual,
I,
Gary.
I honestly think I am.
Okay.
And so the whole part about being attracted to the young 12, 13-year-old guys.
That's the weird part.
But nothing you're ever planning on acting on.
No. I mean, you know, I like my life. I like my job. I like my family. I like my freedom.
Your family.
It's just not worth it.
Your family of origin, or do you have kids yourself?
No, I don't have any kids.
Okay.
No, I'm just, you know, I like my parents.
Yeah.
Grandparents. You know, I mean,
if
I were to do something like that, I would lose, you know, and anybody found out, I'd lose all of that.
How about what you do to the kids that you would act
out?
Absolutely.
He doesn't want to lose his gig at lifeguarding at the public pool.
You know what's very...
True. Show me the finger. It's a joke there. Thank you.
I laughed, though, so you got that.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's kind of interesting about this to me is that if you look at the Renaissance, you know, that period in Italian history, the prepubescent male was sort of the ideal of beauty.
Right.
The Donatello's David, all these things were all of prepubescent, sort of androgynous young male figures.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something, as long as people don't act on it, maybe it's something.
Adam, you said you liked the 12, 13-year-old boys, right?
I like them 11, 12.
Because why? You said because they're hairless and tight as a drum, isn't that what you said?
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
That was when he still was hadn't learned to censor what was coming out of his mouth.
They're, it is weird. It is, I went and visited my nephews.
Oh, my God.
Not my nephews, but my, like, nephew-in-laws. Went and visited Lynette's brother's boys,
hung out with them. Sorry, but those are your nephews now.
Oh,
when are you getting married, anyway?
More people I got
tomorrow, next day?
I'm waiting for somebody to make a penny in either my immediate family or Lynette's immediate family before I get married, because I'm just going to have to support an entire village, essentially. But one of the boys, who's like 14 now, his voice changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed since the last time I saw him. Distracting.
Yeah.
See, the guy
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Bad teenage mustache, sounding like Peter Brady all of a sudden. And you're like, hey, aren't you supposed to be that little cute kid who's playing with his truck? And he's like, I got a Nintendo.
Which
and it's
mine,
weird.
I'm doing a series on the Learning Channel.
So I understand. You know, I was more attracted to him before his voice changed.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Maleness is unattractive, let's be fair. But the Learning Channel, I'm doing a thing called Teen Species that goes over this whole why this happens, how it happens, that kind of thing. And
well,
it's very interesting.
Look at it this way. Young Gary probably has a point here. There's no... Is there a less attractive time for a male when he's caught in between the puberty and being an adult?
Yes, you're right. That's the bad time.
It's very tough. It's not that way on a woman.
Right.
And one could argue that a male is more attractive when he's, you know, 10 years old than he is when he's 14.
And Gary is just attracted to everything. anything that has attractive quality to it, he sexualizes it.
Right.
So.
All right. Don't ever act on it. That's it. Who's been on hold for a thousand
years
here?
No, we're going to break. Please.
Somebody?
Please.
Gary?
Please.
No. This guy's been on hold for 31 minutes. Sarah?
Yes.
You won't let your boyfriend go out drinking with his friends because you're afraid of what he'll do.
I'm just, not that I won't let him, but he asks, and I end up kind of making him feel guilty.
What has he done in the past?
When we got together, we were not smart and didn't make a lot of good decisions, but we helped each other out of it. And
what the hell does that mean?
Drugs and being stupid. And
so you're afraid he's going to go out and do drugs again?
No, I mean, he's completely over that. We like our life now. There's people that he's with. I mean, they're teenage boys, and they drink, and they do stupid things that could get them arrested, and I don't know.
All right, so
you're not his mom. If he is somebody who can't manage his life and needs you to babysit him all the time, lest he should go out and engage in criminal behavior, that ain't going to stop. And you controlling him and corralling him is not going to help things. It's just going to delay it.
So she can lay down the law and say, look, if you come home arrested or you come home stinking a booze,
the relationship's over.
Fine. We'll be back. In the studio Sunday night. Mo B.
That's going to be good.
Yes, indeed. All right, so I want to thank...
Excuse me a second, but I just want to say before
buddy,
you know, you seem less intoxicated now. I got to admit, you kind of...
Sobered up during the course of the
together,
show.
You brought it around. I'm impressed.
Thanks, buddy. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week. I want to thank Lauren, co-producer Lauren, for doing a fine job.
Why?
I want to thank Stryker for coming in here and being a reasonable facsimile of yours truly. And I want to thank the one with the magic fingers, the one who handles the potentiometers. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Engineer Anderson. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
A, B, C, D. E-F-G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-N-Z.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.